I'm losing track of the knobs here. Sorry. Because I got to... Travis echoes if I'm not, like, over here paying attention to him talking, so I got to turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Who matches up in front of you?
No, I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling? Yeah. Mr. Samoa Joe?
And welcome back, everybody, to the Turnbuckle. Another off-the-wall edition. If you missed the first hour or so, we ran the ropes. We discussed Roman's rumored upcoming schedule. We discussed Vince's upcoming Netflix documentary. We discussed the rumored return of Brock Lesnar, and as well as John Cena and what his future might hold as far as being an active competitor in the wrestling ring goes. Now,
we talked about a lot.
Yeah, we did all right. We moved through the bases. We tiptoed through the tulips.
Damn, I should have done the going the distance overlay halfway through, because we went the distance on running the ropes today.
There wasn't a topic to me that itched going the distance.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that.
There wasn't, like, you know, because we're in kind of some
do
of the same
better ways. Crazy wrestling people, give us something to talk about.
Give it a week or two.
Oh, damn it. Anytime, I shouldn't have asked.
Yeah, anytime it's Anytime it's quiet, that means
it's like when you're watching toddlers. If it's quiet, something happens.
Yeah, that means something is brewing in a bad, bad way.
It's not good.
So,
or they took a nap. And by nap, I mean fell in the middle of the floor because they were running around all morning.
Well, you would know you're a father.
Yeah. It's all right, though.
How is the fella?
He's all right, man. Good. Yeah. Right. He's hanging out, playing video games with his friends.
All right. Let's talk a little Dynamite.
Dynamite.
A little Wednesday night Dynamite. Yeah. A little Wednesday night Dynamite. The show kicked off with Christian Cage defeating Dustin Rhodes in a TNT Championship match. Let me say it again. I don't know why Dustin's back on TV, but I'm so glad he is.
Right? I enjoy Dustin Rhodes.
I texted you last night during this match, and I said, two masters of the craft.
Dude, that shit was amazing.
Because it was just that. It's two masters of the craft. Two of the most... You know, we talked some about Samoa Joe, I believe it was last week, where we talked about kind of him being a victim of his era. Yeah. Was he last week or week before? I can't recall which.
I don't remember either.
Two guys that are victims of the era they came up in, Christian Cage and Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because for them to be still this good in 2024, especially Dustin Rhodes, no disrespect to Christian Cage, but Dustin's been at it longer.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like 30. This is like year 35, 36 as an active wrestler. It's insane.
Wild.
I remember when 2023 was going to be his last year. I remember hearing that. Remember reading that.
I remember reading that.
Yeah. 2023 was going to be it. Well, that was bullocks, is what that was.
It was a thought. Maybe
that's what we'll say about John Cena.
It was a thought.
It was a thought as far as his and you know he thought he was going to be done sometime soon, and then.
10 years down the road, he's still at it.
Tyler Lawler, how are you, brother? Thank you for tuning in. All right, how are you, my friend?
Wait, who?
Tyler Lawler.
Hi, Tyler. Sorry, I missed the name. That's why I was blankly staring, like, wait, what?
You went, who?
So I figured it would be best to just ask and then say hi. I don't want to ignore our dozen of fans. That would be terrible.
Our dozen of fans. I like it. We are humble on this podcast. We are humble, and we go forth and we try to do the Lord's work.
Chore.
You suggesting you don't try to do the Lord's work?
I didn't say that. I just said chore.
I regretted asking that question as soon as I said it.
I was like, why am
Depends
I even asking?
How we define
the Lord's work.
I mean, why am I even asking him? I was like, damn it, Logan, you know better. You ever talk to yourself after you ask something?
Sometimes.
Here we go. What the hell am I doing that for?
Sometimes right at this desk.
Yeah, why would I do that?
Why did I even ask that damn question? That was fucking stupid.
So Christian Cage defeated Dustin Rhodes. I knew it was coming, but I still wanted to believe in my heart, and for half a second I did. For half a second I did believe. For half a second, I wanted to believe.
He made it. And that's how good they were. That's how good Christian Cage and Dustin Rhodes are. They made us believe for that 1 second, that one split tenth of a second, that Dustin Rhodes was going to be the man to beat Christian Cage. And if that's not what pro wrestling is, then someone else has a different definition of pro wrestling than I do. Like, that was utterly fantastic. Not a whole bunch of bullshit. Like, it was, like you texted me, two masters of their craft. It wasn't overbooked. It was believable. It was utterly fantastic. And I wish Dustin wouldn't have done the Destroyer on the outside to Nick Wayne. Like, it's not a big deal.
Why?
Because the one he did to Willie Mack was epic, and I don't know. I think he should wait to do it again because of it. I know it was epic not only because of Dustin, but because of Willie Mack as well. But I think I texted you. I might have even put, I don't know. I might have put it in the chat. I don't know. Probably not, because they don't watch AEW a lot, so why would I put it in there?
I watch AEW a lot.
I know you do, but I can text you.
I watch a lot of wrestling.
I'm trying to be involved in the chat. But I appreciate that. I also try to share things and talk about things that the chat's actually going to talk about. It's fine. I don't care. But it's, you know, why post something if no one's going to talk about it?
I'm going to talk.
What was I saying?
I don't know.
Shit. Chew. Getting me all messed up. Anyway. It's fine.
Tony.
Oh, Masters of Their Craft. Oh, the Destroyer. Because now I want it to be special again. Dustin showed that it can be special again. It doesn't have to be used every fucking three matches.
You mean it doesn't?
No. I don't think it does.
Really? You can just kind of pop that out like The Undertaker does The Last Ride these days?
Yeah, it's
just
cool.
During that rare little maybe?
Like, and maybe Tony Khan needs to be like, look, only Dustin can do it.
Tony Khan tweeted out just a bit ago. He said it's going to be a great year, and then at AEW. All caps.
Cool. I feel it. I've been entertained so far.
It was all caps, so I wonder if it's caps up in the stock, or if he was like, did he just sign somebody and that we got it, you know?
Maybe. I don't know.
Sorry, it's easy. He doesn't usually tweet things like that, so I'm just kind of.
Maybe he had a conversation with one Brian Danielson. And he said, only tweet positive things, sir. This is getting ridiculous. I'm sure there's a new committee that Danielson is a part of, because that man's not busy enough.
Oh, he's in Japan.
Like Tony, I'm going to need you to clone your phone. I'm going to need you to give me that clone of your phone. And I'm going to have to, like, no.
That's not what we need.
We're going to delete this. Yep. No. That one, that one's cool. Yeah, do that one.
Nice job, boss.
Cool.
I was hoping, because I thought it may, I had the result I wanted to see, right? It's Dustin get a quick win for just a small run, right?
What?
Nice job. I was hoping to see Dustin find a way to win. I knew it wasn't very likely, but I was hoping, right?
Yeah.
So my hope was that old Cope Open, old Adam Copeland.
Cope Open, I like it. I do like it. I love how he was just like, I don't know, the Cope Open or something. Yeah. Like he couldn't even think of it. He's like, let's call it that.
Yeah,
screw
the
it.
Cope Open's fun. I like it. I was hoping that Mr. Cope would cost, because it's similar to Roman Reigns and The Rock, Adam Copeland and Christian Cage don't need the title.
No, they really don't.
The title is so secondary here, and so but you know who could use a small TNT title run?
Dustin, just long enough for Luchasaurus to take it from him.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think that's the whole goal of this whole thing.
That's all right. I'd have been fine. Dustin wins last night, and then Luchasaurus or Killswitch, whatever you want to call him, beats him at Revolution.
I think he's got to turn on Christian and become Luchasaurus again before he gets the title. We need that whole transition.
I would agree, but until his name is Luchasaurus again, I like to, you know.
That's all it's going to take is one headbutt. Just one.
Look, it's like calling, look, Dolph Ziggler's always going to be Dolph Ziggler to me, but his name's Nate Namath now.
That's fair. I mean, isn't that his real name?
I think so.
That's his God-given name, not his kayfabe name.
Guys from... Why do people say God-given name?
I don't know.
Like, it's just the same. And you know me, I'm a strong believer.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's possible that God put the thought in the parent's heart and their mind and said that's it. Possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I've used the term God-given name, so I'm not, like, sitting here cutting on people. But really, my damn parents gave me that damn name.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
You know,
I don't know why they say
it. I don't know if God, like, would God really care if my name was Hezekiah? Like, he...
Maybe that's translated from God speak to your parents.
Nice.
Hezekiah.
Hezekiah translates to Logan. I'm Hezekiah.
We figured it out. Look at us go.
I'm Hezekiah.
Jeez.
I'm Hezekiah. And this here is Methuselah. Hezekiah and Methuselah. That's us.
Hezekiah and Methuselah.
Yep.
I got it out. What else about the Christian Cage, Dustin Rhodes nonsense? I mean, not nonsense. It was a banger.
It was a banger. I thought it was two masters of the craft. I thought it was odd that Adam Copeland didn't get involved in some way, even a stare down. Like,
it's because they're trying to sell the work my way back up thing. Because he said, technically I'm owed a title shot.
And that makes sense to me, but did you watch Collision Saturday?
Yeah.
After his match, he was, I'm still coming for you.
Yeah, but he also said, like, I'm going to work my way up, but you're my goal. Like, he's.
But why do you got to work your way up? You're out of
because he wants to prove that he doesn't want his name to give him things, damn it. He said, fine, I'll work my way up. I'm owed.
He doesn't have to worry about that.
But it's ego.
Because
he said, I'm owed a rematch, but you know what? I'm going to show these kids how it's done, and I'm going to work my way back up. It's ego.
All right.
I'm not just going to waltz in and take another opportunity from another young man. I'm going to earn my way. I'm going to beat those young men along the way to me getting the TNT championship.
Let's talk about another young man with and it's not on this rundown because I forgot to put it on there. Let's talk about the Swerve Strickland and Hangman Adam Page promos last night. I thought they were fire.
Yeah, I thought they were great.
Swerve Strickland implied that he's tougher than God.
Yes, he did.
He didn't say it.
It was
but
implied,
he sure
though.
Implied it.
He implied it.
Said, I think Hangman Page might have a chance against God. But he still ain't going to beat me.
Beat me. Love Swerve Strickland.
I went, whoa!
He's my favorite.
And then Hangman Adam Page had a banger himself because he said he didn't care who the champ was. And then, you know, because he talks about Samoa Joe, and he said, Hook, if you win tonight, God help you because you're going to need it. And I was like, this is fire! These two are bringing it out of each other.
They were on it last night, man. It's great. They've got chemistry. Are fucking rocking Austin.
They've got chemistry. They can rock Austin, man.
All day, every day, forever.
Like, you know I'm on the lead guy, but all of a sudden I'm like, I am an anxious millennial cowboy.
Right?
Damn it.
He's fantastic. I bought that shirt, by the way.
You did?
Yeah.
You did.
I don't know when it's coming, but I bought it.
What shirt?
That Hangman shirt with the dead horse thingy on
nice.
It. Like, that'll go very well with the Swerve shirt.
I got you, bro.
Even though I can't wear both at the same time?
That's all right. Hey, there's 7 days in this week, baby.
I mean, that's fair.
There's 7 days in this week.
I'm shooting for never making it through my rotation.
is that your cell phone or your closet?
What? What?
Is that your cell phone roster or your closet?
Closet.
Nice.
Closet.
No,
roster, too.
My man. and so I am ready for more of that. Like, I was, as you know, a couple weeks ago, and hey, I know, shifty shift on my move, boys, but I was like, man, they can't do anything else. And I still kind of wonder about that in-ring-wise. But promo-wise, they're just now hitting their stride. Right.
Well, that's why I think you can have them and Joe in a triple threat at Revolution. So you can still save that one-on-one.
Beat me.
Because I think that's I mean, nothing against Samoa Joe.
When you imply, but I mean, I think
2024 is, I mean, it should be the story of Swerve and Hangman Page at this point. Like, the end of 2023 was, that was like the, other than MJF, that was like the hottest story going. Now the MJF story is over with. So now you can move Hangman Page and Swerve's story in that top slot because people are engaged with Swerve Strickland. They love Swerve Strickland. They love Adam Hangman Page. They are engaged. The fans are engaged.
This
has to be your top storyline right
now. This is good shit, pal.
And Joe's going to do the honors at Revolution. Everybody's like, oh, it's too short. It's a good 2-month reign. It's all right.
Why does everything got to be 4,500 months
forever anymore? Like, we've had our long title reigns in AEW. I'm kind of over them. I'm kind of over them in WWE, too. Like, I don't... It's fine, whatever. But at some point, you got to give the title to somebody else. They can't be champion forever. That's why I don't understand the Roman Reigns thing. He's never going to be number one. Ever. There's no way he could be champion for another 3 years. And the people that want that are insane. You're right. There is a possibility. But the people that want that are insane. Like, that's crazy.
Here's the one bright side of this lengthy reign. The longer it goes, the more you're coming over to my side of things. Because for a year, 2 years, you thought I was just a big bah humbug, Scrooge. And now you're like, damn, Logan's right. This is getting ridiculous.
I separate the two. I love Roman Reigns. But this reign is over. It's done with. It's not going to do anything. What is it? I mean, and Dave LaGreca said this too, but what's number two? Unless he's champion for another 3 years. Oh, he surpassed Hogan. Oh, you're number two. Does that fucking mean anything? You lose the Super Bowl. Do they talk about you? No, not really, unless you're the Falcons and you blow a 35-point lead or something ridiculous.
And they only
talk about you for 2 or 3 weeks.
And then
the news media moves forward.
And that right there is why I think there's an outside shot he's champion 3 more years.
That's crazy talk. It's crazy talk.
I said outside shot.
It's crazy talk. Crazy talk.
And you know, nobody on this planet wants that
it's
less
pro
than
wrestling.
Me.
It's pro wrestling. I get it. It's possible. But it's crazy, and I don't understand why anybody would want it.
No one wants it less than me.
I know. Yeah. I know.
No one.
Because you still can't convince me Roman is the head of the table unless he doesn't have fucking championship. Prove it now. Prove that you're the head of the table, because technically The Rock is the head of the table. He makes the most money in the Inouye family. He's the biggest star in the Inouye family. He buys the Inouye family houses. This, that, and the other. Technically, there is absolutely nothing Roman Reigns can do to be the head of the table. So in kayfabe, he needs to beat The Rock without a title on the line to prove, without a shadow of a doubt, that in the universe that is WWE, in kayfabe, that he is the head of the table. The title doesn't change that.
We'll see what happens. But let's get back to AEW.
Oh, yeah. Love how we do that, folks.
And we are going to talk casting Beretta, but I figure it's a good transition since we're talking about Trudor Strickland, who is the leader of the Mogul Embassy.
He is.
The Mogul Embassy took an L last night.
It's been a minute. They were respectable champions. They took on a lot of I mean, we didn't all see it because most of it was on Ring of Honor television, but they had some bangers on Collision and Dynamite defending those championships.
The Bullet Club, better known as the Bang Bang Gang.
Bang Bang Gang. Dude, that entrance is slick.
Oh, it's a little fire right there. It is 2024. The Bullet Club, originally, the original Bullet Club, was made, and still a thing as we know in New Japan especially. Mm-hmm. The original Bullet Club, because this is like the wolf pack here. The original Bullet Club started in 2013. The Bullet Club is still a thing.
It's still a thing.
And the Bang Bang Gang. Works. The Bang Bang Gang defeated the Mogul Embassy to become new Ring of Honor 6-man champions. I like it. I think I'm hoping that most of their run ends up on Ring of Honor, because I think that gives people the reason to tune in to Ring of Honor. Jay White is Jay White is criminally underrated.
Oh yeah.
You know, the Guns are coming into their own. They've grown so much in the last 6 months. And you got to think that has something to do with hanging out with Jay White.
Sure it does. Sure it does.
When you, because think about what Jay White has had to do in this business. You know, until his New Japan contract expired, he was the leader of the Bullet Club, the OG, the black and white one.
Yeah.
And you're taking over for guys like AJ Styles, Kenny Omega, who's a god in Japan, Cody Rhodes, who wasn't technically a leader, but he was real close. Of course, the Young Bucks, you know, our boys Gallows and Anderson, of course, with Gallows. I like to call him Sex Ferguson.
Oh, that's fun. Finn Balor.
You know, Finn Balor, the OG leader. Uh-huh. I hope someday we have like a leader face off.
That'd be so cool.
In New Japan or something. Like,
it's why everyone should participate in Forbidden Door. It'd be fun.
It would.
It'd be great.
But I'm talking about, you had to follow in that ilk, who, in the names I listed, I mean, they're big names here in the U.S. and in Japan, they're godlike.
Yes, they are.
And so, Jay White has been pretty much any, you know, he's been in any uncomfortable spot the Guns can think about. You know, being the father of a legend like Badass with a Gun. Yeah, he isn't related to anybody that's a big deal. But I mean, when you follow in the footsteps of the Bullet Club and the legendary leaders, and you know, they're at what the hell is that store called? Pop something? What the hell is it called?
Pop something?
Yeah,
I don't know.
What the hell is it called? Oh, Hot Topic.
Wow.
Hot Topic.
That was not even close.
That was not even close.
Not even close. I never would have guessed that in a million years.
But I mean, when the Bullet Club is at its hottest, it's a Hot Topic. People are, you know, it's...
You know, I'm old enough to have wandered a Hot Topic without wrestling shirts in it. Isn't that crazy?
I don't see a cane around here. So... Now, the fact that the Bullet Club's still going strong in multiple promotions in 2024, pretty incredible.
I think that's the key to it. Like, every time they split off, it tends to be somewhere else.
Well, they're like a, and this is going to sound way worse than I mean, but I'm just trying to make a metaphor here. They're like a disease. Because every time you think,
well... They are based on the NWO. What did Vince call the NWO?
They're a lethal dose of poison.
Yeah, and a cancer, too, I think.
Yeah, the WWF has cancer. And the kind of cancer it has is the slow, killing kind.
Isn't all cancer slow and killing?
I'm just quoting the promo! Or actually, it was several vignettes.
It's multiple years later. Now it's time to armchair quarterback that shit and be like, "But wait, isn't that the definition of cancer? It kills you,
buddy,
slowly over time,
buddy. I love you, and I would take a bullet for you, but do not besmirch one of my favorite segments of all time. The collection of vignettes they filmed that night, SmackDown. Where Vince is losing his damn mind drinking that cup of what I presume is coffee.
Probably.
Is magnifique.
Oh, besmirching.
But anyhow.
I thought it was fantastic.
But the Bullet Club is kind of like a disease in the sense of they mutate. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I thought, man, Jay White out of the Bullet Club, this is, what are we doing? Then. Turns out he's not really out of the Bullet Club. He's just making his own.
I think that's why it works,
because
you just kind of keep it going somewhere else.
Because the Bullet Club has
really steal anybody's thunder because you're not on the same show, and it's not like
because the Bullet Club has let me run it down for you.
That's a lot.
The Bullet Club currently has.
I'm gonna check your work. Go.
I'll see what I can think of. The Bullet Club has currently. The original Bullet Club in New Japan. And then they have in New Japan, they even have the subgroup called House of Torture, which is mostly its own group, but it's still technically affiliated with the Bullet Club. And then They have a Bullet Club faction over at Impact Wrestling, which is mostly Chris Bay and Ace Austin. And then you have the Bullet Club Gold. I think there's even an Australian faction.
That sounds right, probably.
And there's another subgroup, like G.O.D. was a subgroup until 22, Guardians of Destiny. I think there's another subgroup that I can't think of.
It's really hard to find them all, so I'm just going to take your word for it. I know David Finley's running shit right now.
Yeah, David Finley is the face of the current OG Bullet Club, like the black and white Hollywood.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
So
I'm a big fan of David Finley.
Yeah, he's got it.
I didn't watch that show yet.
You should.
I wanted to. I almost sat through it, but I couldn't get it to switch over from Japanese. And I'm all good with doing New Japan with me doing commentary over Japanese commentary. Because it doesn't matter what they say. Yeah. I'm not listening for it. But when I'm trying to watch it and enjoy it,
it matters.
It matters. And when you have a thing on your homepage, New Japan, just a heads up, the directions to switch it don't work. Unless you have to wait 24 hours to switch it to English, which doesn't make sense to me either. But it didn't work. I tried on multiple devices and TVs.
No,
I was sad.
Your account's weird because to watch Wrestle Kingdom, I just started my own. I'm hoping that you'll fix it so I don't have to.
Okay. Fair.
Probably not the time to bring that up, but
it worked the other day. I was watching stuff.
Yeah. All right, I'll try again.
Well, like I said, I couldn't get it.
I'll try
again. I tried to spend Sunday morning watching the pay-per-view, but I couldn't get it off Japanese, and I'm like, I can't. I really tried.
What pay-per-view? Battle in the Valley?
Yeah.
They didn't do English.
That's why I couldn't.
If you wanted English, you had to order it off Fight, which I did.
Oh, that makes sense then. That's why. So I'll have to bear with it.
If you want to watch it.
Yes, I'm bearing with now, it this weekend.
Now, again, you could just order it on Fight.
I could, but I already pay him $10 a month. I think it's fine.
Gotcha.
I'll deal with some Japanese. Yeah. Maybe I'll pull Babbel out and see if it'll help me learn some Japanese.
I'll check out your account between 9 and tomorrow and see if it's
cool.
I did, by the way, buy Ring of Honor.
Oh, did you?
So
cool. That's exciting.
So we can scratch each other's back that way. because I need more wrestling.
I know, right?
Fuck. There's a ton of I'm hoping that the Bullet Club Gold have most of the run on Ring of Honor. And I say that as someone that I've now bought it to, like I said, I'm going to try it for a few months.
I think there's some good stuff. There's going to be some good stuff on there, especially with Bullet Club Gold. And I don't think people have given the Mogul Embassy the credit they deserve because they are all talented individuals. Like, they fit really well. And they had a nice long reign. And hopefully, maybe, like, I don't want to not see Jay White and them on TV right now, but like maybe this gets Mogul Embassy on Dynamite and Collision more or Rampage because Bullet Club Gold, in theory, has things to deal with on Ring of Honor at this point.
That's my one quandary about this is that you're right, Mogul Embassy's had an impressive run. I feel like it should be the way to tell Revolution or the next Ring of Honor pay-per-view.
Yeah,
the next Ring of Honor preview will be sometime in March. I think it'll be Super Card of Honor. They usually do it around WrestleMania.
That sounds right.
So it's not to say that I'm not happy about the Bang Bang Gang. I am. You know,
I was thrilled. I was like, yeah,
you know, Bullet Club, baby.
Jay White gets a title to do things.
But I just feel like it makes it feel now to Tony's credit to his to play advocate for him here, it's nice to see title change on Dynamite or Rampage or Collision because it makes it feel more must-see. But at the same time,
didn't more titles change hands on Dynamite than Battle of the Belts?
Yeah, that needs to change.
Very much so.
Because why do we do...
I watched it. Yeah. It was cool. I enjoyed the matches. But like, if no one's going to lose, no one's going to like switch the title, why am I... I could have... Like watch this in the morning.
I think Sammy Guevara is the one exception. I think the one time he won the TNT belt on.
Probably.
Because they even referenced it in the promo.
Yeah, they did.
I did not watch Battle of the Belts, and that it's because of Battle in the Valley was going live at 10, and I was like,
I paid for this.
John Moxley's going to bleed, right?
I have no problem watching Moxley bleed. It's fun. He likes it. I like it. It's fine.
It's a blast.
Just like Swerve and Hangman. It's cool.
Deonna Purrazzo defeated Anna Jay. Of course, that was really done to further the story between Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo. Toni Storm,
national treasure. She's a national treasure. I mean, what more can you ask for?
And it's
Ian Riccaboni just couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it either. She was fucking with him like crazy. It's great.
I'm so glad they had a younger guy like Ian out there and not Jim Ross.
I don't think she would have done it if it wasn't him.
Yeah, because
I think she the professional she is, she called some kind of audible. And I love that in her timeless Toni Storm brain that Schiavone just shaved and lost weight. I'm here for it.
Oh,
I am 100% here for it because she called him Siobhan over and over and over again. I know it's Schiavone. Sorry. Oh. Sometimes it comes out wrong.
Schiavone, boy. Schiavone.
Schiavone or whatever. It's fine.
It is Schiavone. I like calling him Schiavone because he just looks like it. If you read it, it looks like Schiavone.
That's true. But I'm all here for it. I've been saying it since this whole timeless thing started. I mean, but last night was a perfect appetizer to that match.
Toni Storm is proving what we've known for years. We called her underrated in WWE. Mm-hmm. She had a special, different look in NXT. She started out well on the main roster, and then Vince derailed the hell out of it for whatever reason. You know, because he has these weird quirks where, damn it, I don't like her hair.
He woke up one day and said, I don't like her hair.
That's what he said about Paul Heyman when they first met. He told Bruce Prichard after Paul Heyman's first edition, he goes, I hate his hair. So, yeah.
Didn't he say that about John, too?
Yeah.
Cut his hair.
Cut his hair. Damn it. And so, Paul Heyman's first edition with WWE did not go well because I hate his hair. Anywho.
It's fine, Vince.
But Toni Storm, again, had a unique look in NXT, had a unique look up in the main roster until things got weird, like... The cake spot is what everybody kind of remembers with the, you know, and that's where it started to go.
Downhill from there.
But we talked about it on, we were probably still looking at that point. We talked about how we knew that she had talent. We knew that she was different, she's got a different look. You know, she hits all the, she's a very attractive blonde, which you might think is, that's classic wrestling. But she's attractive in a different way than most of the quote-unquote blonde bombshells that this business has been
known
for.
She's regular person attractive.
Yeah. She's girl next door hot, right? Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes there's something alluring about
that. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about there, brother. My man.
And, you know, we're gushing over Toni Storm and her performance and everything else. That's but Deonna right. Purrazzo and Anna Jay, they did a fantastic job. I love how far Anna Jay has come so far. Like you especially with, because she hasn't been in the ring for a while, and she hasn't really been in the ring with a lot of veterans for a while. But she hung in there with one of the best in women's wrestling.
Oh,
right
the virtuosa
now.
Knows what she's doing.
I'll just say wrestling altogether. Yeah. She knows uber talented. She knows how to work a crowd.
The only thing in my estimation, this is my opinion, I've watched a fair amount of Deonna Purrazzo over the years, mostly with Impact, who spent a lot of years there. I think in her promos, she's still getting used to working in front of a live audience that's going live, and I think it's showing.
That's fair.
Because there's a certain, and she looked like her last night during the match. She looked like the virtuosa. But during all her promos thus far on AEW, because it's either been Dynamite or Collision, both live shows, I've thought, where's that confidence that was an Impact? Where, I mean, when she walked in the Impact ring or an Impact backstage vignette, she owns the room. And I'm like, what's the common denominator? Well, it's new number one. But I'm wondering if maybe she's still getting used to the we're live.
That's, you know, the old mean, we're live, pal.
I mean, it's a learning curve, man. Yeah. It's a learning curve.
Because, you know, Impact tapes in bulk, and the only thing they do live is, like, pay-per-views. And so I just wonder if that's...
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of mic time on pay-per-views.
Yeah,
I mean, even at WWE, they've really reduced the mic time in pay-per-views to, like, hosts or special guests like Cena or whatever. Like, it's really been... We're just going to put on a whole bunch of wrestling.
So I think,
and our stories will culminate with the wrestling.
So I wonder if she's still getting used to that because she just seems a little, just a little off her game. Nothing egregious, nothing horrible. She just seems a hair off her game on promos. I want to take a step back and let's go Orange Cassidy and Trent Barretta. They defeated Penta and Commander.
We did forget to talk about them.
I thought this was a solid match. Nothing I didn't like.
No.
I did find myself, and I just, I'm done with best friends.
Me too.
I'm a little fatigued. I'm just a little fatigued.
I am so glad it was serious Barretta last night. He was vicious last night, and he needs to be that way. And I almost... As much as I would like for Roderick Strong, because he's on a career year right now. He is fantastic. It's stupid how good he is. He found the right personality that he can make work for him. I'm sure he doesn't act that way in the back, probably.
I hope not.
But damn.
He's got that little caterpillar mustache rocking.
It was fantastic. But like, I want to see Trent whoop Orange Cassidy's ass and take that championship from him. And I love Orange Cassidy. He's a great international champion. But God damn it, I know how good Trent Barretta is.
Well,
We can't have too many, like, too cool for school guys. Orange kind of got that market covered.
Yeah, that's his thing.
You know, Chucky T can freak out, and then Trent Barretta can give one stiff elbow and say, screw you, man. I'm done with this.
I think similar, not nearly as badly, but similar to Gunther in the Intercontinental Championship, Orange Cassidy's time with the International Championship has kind of run its course.
Yeah.
And there's enough belts that you don't need to jump right to the world title. You have the TNT title. Maybe you want to go after the Continental Championship that's now created at Eddie Kingston. King of the Bums, boys. King of the Bums. I'm ready for... I'm glad that Orange Cassidy's gotten more serious because, you know, when he first started, I couldn't.
Oh, God, you guys hated it.
I loved it. I wanted to wring his neck.
But now it's more like mind games at this point. And I've been very...
I've been
open about that since it started. Like, I know it's mind games, and I know he's doing too much. And like, it's not serious enough at times.
It's more mind games, and also it's... And I can, even though it's not to me, I can respect him... kind of playing the hits for nostalgic purposes for half a second for those that are really into the let's put the hands in the pockets, which is the dumbest damn thing I've ever seen.
Well, sure it is. Doesn't mean it's not funny.
Still wrote me, damn it. But I'm ready for... we've got a slightly harder edge to Orange Cassidy, and I'm thankful for that, but I'm ready for not a new direction per se, but a... because direction points to character change. But I'm ready for a new target for Orange Cassidy. So I hope we get that soon. Penta, what haven't we said about Penta? I mean,
it's ridiculous.
He's an incredible athlete. He could go to Paris this summer and compete with all the gymnasts.
Yeah, he could.
And give him a run for the money and probably take the money.
That's fucking amazing, dude. I love Penta.
I have nothing besmirched to say. I liked the Roderick Strong.
I think that's what we got with this tag match was like effort before the meat. It's like that was our appetizer.
Meat, you said.
Because, well, the whole point of that entire segment was for Roderick Strong and the Kingdom to come out, the United Kingdom, if you will. And
Undisputed.
Talk trash. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Undisputed Kingdom. So it's the same initials. I get confused. And
UK, baby.
To come out and talk shit to
Orange Cassidy. Like, that was the whole point of the tag team match. But a lot of times in wrestling, you can tell. And I don't think you could tell in the middle of the match that this match is just to get to a talking segment. Because sometimes you can just be like, all right, we don't have to go all out. This, at the end of the day, this match doesn't matter in the story that we're telling. And I'm really appreciative on when both companies do that shit. Mm-hmm. Love it. It's a big thing for me with the way wrestling is going now. Like, every match should be important. You should want to win. Like, it's fine if it's predetermined, but we're supposed to buy in.
We're supposed to care.
And care and enhance the product in our own way by who we like and who we choose to boo. And yeah, we all know it's a fucking show. And yeah, we all know it's predetermined. But you know what? Doesn't it make it that much better? You can get sucked in. You know goddamn well that the fucking winner has already been decided. But you're sucked in anyway for whatever fucking reason.
In my heart, I go, maybe they'll call an audible. You just never know.
You never know. That's all you can ever say.
Some breaking news.
Oh, I saw Seth on your phone. I was worried. Oh, no.
Some breaking.
Is Seth okay?
Well, that's not quite determined yet, but
oh,
I'm afraid I have a bad sign.
Oh, no.
Some breaking news. Following this week's, you know, we all know the apparent injury. They're still waiting on results, reportedly. But in what might not be a great sign, Rollins has been removed from the lineup for this weekend's WWE Live events.
Oh,
all of them.
He likes those.
Yep.
That's not good.
And he's one of the main pillars of it because Roman doesn't work him anymore. I think Punk will do a handful.
Cody will do them. Yeah. He might already be there, though.
So,
damn.
That is not good news.
Damn.
Again, that does not mean that.
Well, you know what? Hopefully, that means that it's not serious, and he just needs to take time off. Like,
we'll
we've
recoup,
been screaming at him for a minute. Like, because I love that he's like die hard and wants to be there each and every week. There's something to be said about
sure.
That cannot be ignored. It needs to be appreciated. But at the same time, sometimes you got to do what's best for you and your body and your family and take a break. And I know it's hard for wrestlers because you're always worried you're going to be forgotten.
And we were talking about Ring of Honor and Supercard of Honor. Reportedly, the rumor is it's going to be on April 5th. 2024, that is the Friday before WrestleMania.
Ooh.
Night one. Now that just broke as well.
Damn.
That's the
all kinds of shit's going on.
That's the heavy implication. So it's going to be a packed WrestleMania weekend. So they're going to go head to head with SmackDown in the Hall of Fame.
Ooh. That'll be exciting.
Tony said, eat these Cheerios, boys.
I mean, you got to put it on at some point, man.
I like it. Tony said, we'll go right head to head with SmackDown in that Hall of Fame.
Let's do it. Why not?
Do it live!
It's fine. Probably.
Do it live.
Until IWC eats him alive.
All right.
He has another heart attack.
A few more things to
get on. I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the Briscoe segment.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That was incredible.
I don't think I've ever done this. Followed by a cry. When he told us that the doctor said my niece would never walk again.
Yeah,
and she came from behind that curtain.
I got glassy eyes.
And it was not even glassy eyes. I was tearing up, man. That was the most emotional thing I have ever seen on a pro wrestling program. And that's with Brody Lee's remembrance shows and everyone else that's passed. Like, that was the most moved I've ever been from a wrestling segment. And yes, it was real life.
Oh, you can tell.
But it's still on a wrestling program. It's still matters. That yes, it's real life, but that's why it matters. Because in 2024, we can bring real life things into this cockamamie business that we love and make it fucking matter, because it does.
And we can still love our redneck kung fu.
I Mark lost says. It. And I was listening to Bubba from Busted Open After Dark this morning after the meeting, and I almost lost it again. Like cheese and rice.
No, it was incredible.
And yes,
special moment.
That transcends wrestling.
Yeah.
Because it's real life. But you don't ever expect to tune in and literally have a reaction like
that. Right. It's because
and I mean it was tears of joy.
Right. Because
it's oh my God, I can't wow. And
it,
walking pretty, I mean, I don't know how hurt she was, because like when this happened, we talked about it. I said it's not our business to know if it was at fault or not. And you know, that's the family. That's it. Whatever happened, that is the family to know. If they want to share it, cool. It's none of our fucking business. And this is like, other than like the funeral, this will be like the real first time that they brought us really close mm-hmm. in. And I mean, if you're telling somebody that someone's parents and family that she might not walk again, and she walks out the way she did, sure, she needed help from, I think that's Mark's son, I don't know. But she walked out there pretty well.
She did.
For someone that was told a year ago that she'd never walk again. God bless you. And I know I'm not a true believer like some people, and I was raised Lutheran or whatever, so some of that's in there. So, I mean, God bless. That whole segment was fantastic.
No, it's for her to walk out under pretty much her own power a year to the day.
It's wild, man.
I don't think a Hollywood scriptwriter could think of that.
No.
And bring it as authentically. I really hope that Tony has plans for Briscoe. I know they're doing this thing with the Hardys now. I hope Tony's got plans, because Mark is special, and Jay was special, and the Briscoes were special, and they are special. That has not changed.
No, not one bit.
For Tony to have a heart and give valuable TV time to that, says a lot about the content of his character. Because no disrespect to WWE, they've done amazing things as well.
Yes, they have.
But let me say that with this caveat, and I'm not putting down anything of the amazing things they've done. But the most feel-good moments we have of them is usually a WWE Network behind-the-scenes documentary.
That's fair.
And usually when it comes out on TV, respectfully, it's to shell for some cause that they're also taking part in, like Susan G. Komen, Connor Shakir. And I'm not putting those things down. I think they're wonderful, but
yes,
Make-A-Wish and all that. But there was no... I appreciate the fact there's no added advertisement. There's nothing to... There was nothing to shell here.
Didn't even know he was going to cut a promo last night.
This was... And again, I'm not putting down the WWE at all. They do incredible, incredible things. Frankly, that gets a little lost in the sauce on some of their worst moments.
They do a lot of good with the money that they've made.
But I love the fact that this wasn't to sell you on Susan G. Komen. This wasn't to sell you on Contra Secura. This wasn't to sell you on anything.
This wasn't to sell you a pay-per-view or nothing.
This was therapy for the Briscoe family. And therapy for the Briscoe fans as well. Incredible. Incredible. And so my hat's off to number one Mark for getting through it, the whole Briscoe family, and Tony Khan for, because again, that's valuable television time on your premiere, mm-hmm. on your premier program. Because to put it in perspective, and I don't mean it's not a competition, but, you know, Jerry Lawler suffered a serious stroke, as we all know that by now.
Yeah.
You know, and a couple months ago, it turns out he was backstage at Raw and he came out during a commercial. during a commercial in Memphis, Tennessee. In Memphis, Tennessee. I mean, Jerry Lawler and Elvis and all those Sun Records guys built that damn town.
Right.
And so what's my point? It's not to say... it's that if the same thing happens in AEW, at least what appears to be, we, the home fans that love Jerry Lawler, would have seen Jerry Lawler too.
Yeah.
And we would have all been able to experience that moment together. And I'm not knocking, I'm just saying that, like, I think WWE sometimes is a little bit too concerned about where their TV time goes.
Well, and how someone looks on TV, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes, it matters, but sometimes, at the end of the day, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's been rumors for years that execs are not thrilled at how Flair looks on TV.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, because he's red-faced and his skin's a little weirder. And,
well, I mean, he's only been drinking for... it's been a while.
Yeah.
Do a number on you. It's cool. I'm not, not bitching at Rick. It's cool.
No, it's, and we'll see what happens. You know, I don't know who Vince McMahon was in the first 5 years of running a promotion. But for now, Tony Khan has far more empathy and humanity about him. Now, we'll see what happens in 20, 30 years.
You know, that's why I try to give Tony the benefit of the doubt, like, and all these, you know, not just the IWC, but the pundits.
The pundits.
The experts.
The experts.
The veterans.
The veterans.
That like to bitch and moan about it. I'm not talking about the busted open.
Bitch and moan.
I mean, but we bitch and moan and try to make it constructive. Like, kind of like how Busted Open does. Like, they try to give them constructive criticism, which is fine, but like... everything that you see and everything that you get traction and everything that goes viral, it's always people trying to, you know, talk about this one negative little thing. And this dude has been in this business for 5 fucking years. Five. Where was Vince McMahon 5 years in?
That's a cup of coffee.
5 years. He's gonna screw up. It's gonna happen. Vince screwed up after 20. Eric screwed up. Everybody screws up. It happens. But everybody wants to, like, hammer on Tony Khan and, you know, the running joke that, you know, coked up Tony Khan or whatever. And you know what? That shit pisses me off. Partially because, you know, I've been AEW since day one. But on the other side of the coin, I know how good of a dude he is.
And,
like, and there's... there is absolutely nothing that people don't care. And it's fucking disgusting. Like, how good of a dude he is, and that doesn't get him credit for anything.
And
he gets vilified for was it stupid to tweet the gender stuff? Probably. But half of not 75% of wrestling Twitter wanted to crucify the guy. I read somebody on NoDQ said that's the death nail for AEW. They'll never get another fucking TV contract. Bro, get serious. The last president said a lot worse on his Twitter. Like, are we really? It's 2024. It's not 1997.
Well,
that kind of stuff is not going to keep you from getting anywhere anymore.
And
not when you have billions of dollars behind you and me.
Yeah.
Sure, we do something stupid and go pop off and say something absolutely disgusting and terrible. We're fucked. These rich ass dudes don't give a shit.
And as I pointed out last week, there's a section of people that like the bravado give them hell. And people I've been around, folks with hardcore drug problems, Tony Khan ain't one of them.
No. Come on.
I'm not saying he's never done something in his life, but the people that think he's got like a hardcore coke habit.
Because they don't make energy drinks. Like, that's not a thing. They're not in bed with Woo Energy or anything. Cody didn't used to be able to get as much Bang energy drink as he fucking wanted or anything. Yeah. Like, come on. Can we get serious for a minute?
I've been around those that have done the old devil dandruff. He is certainly not sweaty enough. I've been around.
It's like, and you know what? Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
I'm saying that the people that act like it's a I'm not saying he's never done it in his life. I'm saying it's clearly not a regular thing for him if he ever does it, because there's signs.
There's a lot of signs.
There's a wonderful show on A&E, folks, called Intervention. You really ought to watch it.
You can go my route, but I wouldn't recommend it.
It did.
It's called Living, folks. Leave me alone.
It's called college.
It is, exactly, college. Even though I didn't go, it was college age. Time and a place for everything. It's called college.
Speaking of higher-ups of AEW, though, let's talk about the EVPs.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, if they'll now be known. The Bucks of Youth.
That's funny. Not anymore.
They had a... Well, they're balding.
They shouldn't even be the Young Bucks. It should be Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. They should not be introduced as the Bucks anymore. I don't want to hear it, not one time.
They had a sit-down with Renee.
They were so mean to Renee.
They kind of rode the lightning bolt a little bit. Like, there were moments where they were mean, and there were moments where... Okay.
Bunch of jerks.
And they heavily alluded... They heavily alluded to old One Bill Phil.
Yes, they did. They mentioned cancer once or twice. Cancerous.
Might have been 7 or 8.
Might have been. It was a lot.
You know, we lost our way. We started to rely on the cancerous, you know, superstars of the past. And I went, well, you son of a bitch.
Like, wow, buddy. It was great.
I like where we're going here.
Thank you for finally, one, changing.
For
you've been the fucking same for 5 years.
Thank you for bucking up.
You've tweaked your attitude per se, but now it's like 100% full board. Let's go into this skid, and people are gonna boo us and call us douchebags. Well,
let's be them.
Let's just be douchebags. This is pro wrestling after all.
Yes. The two other members of the melodramatic family that is the Elite. That's what they, you know, they're a melodramatic family. They're a dysfunctional
melodramatic family. Are. Sometimes.
Because
every dysfunctional family is functional sometimes.
And I like where we're going here. They said that Sting is, they like Sting. They admire Sting. But he symbolizes essentially the wrong things. Mm-hmm. And we got to get rid of those wrong things. If we want this company to, and I love that Matthew went, Renee, did your check clear this week?
That was so funny.
You're welcome.
I was like, wow.
He said, you're welcome.
What a dick. Can't be. And it was perfect. Like, there's no one else that you could be mean to and make the fan be like, dude, you're a jerk. Like, if you're going to debut this attitude and the way you're talking, there is no one better to do it to than Renee. And because everyone loves Renee Paquette. How can you not?
And she is now... She is now the only other person you could have possibly pulled this off with was JR.
Yeah.
Because she is now, thanks to being in the lion's den that is the WWE, and having Vince scream in her ear for years.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. I would have done
She's a seasoned vet on how to handle these things.
Uh-huh.
And you can see that. She knows how to guide steer.
Facial expressions and everything.
She knows how to guide, steer. She knows how to play. Because she did what she did until Perk last night, in my view. Was she reacted enough to the comments to let you know she was reacting, but not enough to ever completely babyface herself?
Because it wasn't about her.
Yeah, and so she's somewhere. JR was smiling because that was vintage, and so I was so glad with that. And it's time they leaned in. If you're gonna be hated. Come on with it and bring it.
I don't want to say that we're 100% there, but there have been two signs this week. One at Battle in the Valley and one last night at Dynamite with Matthew and Nicholas that maybe, it won't be the type of money they would have made if they could have kept One Bill Phil around. But maybe, we can use all this bullshit to make some money. To make some good stories. That would have been so much better if you could have kept One Bill Phil around. But it's fine. It's in the past. Hakuna Matata. Not shit we can do about it.
It means let's make no worries
exactly for the rest, of the your days.
Burner barrel. It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata. That'll be in the old intro.
That'll be in the intro for sure.
Speaking of Jungle Boy Jack Perry, he showed up at Battle of the
Bells. That's why I brought it up.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah, a little bit. Because, you know, he's got the scapegoat on his arm, and he ripped up contract. You don't do any of that if you're not still under contract. Sorry, it's wrestling. I know how this works.
He's grown a nice big beard. Yeah. I was like that
he's been out in the woods for months.
I was like, look at that. He's like that guy that was on Into the Wild or some
shit.
Gives
him the perfect amount of time to go work in New Japan for a minute, really hone those skills, come back as a beast of a man instead of a jungle boy.
No,
I should check out Beastman in Mansfield in February.
I liked the scapegoat armband. Plus, I felt like because not so much these days, but there was a time in old one Bill Phil's career he wore an armband too.
That's fair.
And so I didn't know if maybe that was an Easter egg to that. Maybe. I like where this is going. I think they're really working the internet and working it well because even everyone's reporting they still don't know his status.
I mean, look, to be fair, I don't know either. I'm 90% sure that everything's fine.
But what if it isn't?
Then I was wrong. But I'm sure it's fine. Okay, no. You know what? I'm 100% certain everything is fine. You know why? Because Tony Khan didn't freak out on Twitter. Everything's fine. He's under contract. It's all story, blah, blah, blah.
Can I play devil's advocate?
No, because I'm right.
I believe it's yours well, but I'm going to play devil's advocate.
All right, fine.
Maybe he didn't freak out because he's real careful about lawsuits.
From Jack Perry?
Well, if
he wasn't real careful when he was tweeting all that other stuff a week ago. But he's not real careful when he tweets at Eric Bischoff.
But they can't. But he's not. He's talking some shit. He's not defamating their character.
But I didn't say he would do that to his character.
I'm saying, look, I think you're right. I do. But I think that the only thing that makes me question it at all is this. Usually when AEW breathes, Meltzer and Sapp have got it figured out. They've got a report, especially Meltzer, because they're attached at the hip with a couple of...
Maybe they're going to kayfabe him. We can't even talk to you anymore right now. We are motivated to make this gimmick work. Get out of here. I know. It's wishful thinking.
Glad you know it.
It's possible, though.
Glad you know it.
I would. Well, sorry, sure, you buddy. Would,
but you're not, you don't idolize Dave Meltzer like they apparently do.
I mean, I'd have to do that to Chris if it was necessary for the story, if I ever got good enough to work. I mean, it's
but
about
you're
the
a professional.
Story. I mean, that's fair.
And let's be honest, and I'm not calling CM Punk a professional either. Most of the time he ain't. The Bucks so far have proven they're not very professional.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, CM Punk too.
Yeah. I was fair. Yeah. I was fair to both sides on this.
You know who is, though? Cody.
Kenny Omega.
Kenny seems pretty professional as far as I can tell.
Yeah. You know, he had a bad night at the Brawl Out, but...
It's fine.
Was willing to move on.
He was. I heard the interview that he said it with Renee.
He was willing to let it
go. Very clear. Let's make money, guys. Oh, guess not.
Because you're a bunch of cries.
Bunch of cries.
Because you're a bunch of cries.
Not anymore. Let's see where this goes.
No, I'm excited about both where the Bucks are going and Jack Perry. I'm interested. This is the first time I've been interested in a Young Bucks feud, like, ever.
It's been a minute.
Like, ever.
It's been a minute.
Because I went, money.
Yeah, well, yeah. You were still on the fence then. I was going to say, you can't say you weren't excited for Kenny and Hangman versus the Young Bucks, but you were still on the fence then. So, yeah, you probably weren't
again,
as
never,
excited as I was.
I've never taken away from their
well,
talent.
Well, I mean, much like how you, you know, Triple H and Kevin Nash, you know, they work with guys that make the money. That's how I don't think I've ever been excited for the Young Bucks in a match. It's always like, oh, they're going to wrestle Kenny.
That's going to be a banger. Man,
that's going to be a banger. They're going to wrestle FTR. Hope. That's going to be a banger.
So
they're going to wrestle the Lucha Brothers. That's going to be a banger. But it's never, oh, damn, I got to see this Young Bucks match. And it's just, I can get through their flippy, crazy shit. It's fine. It's just not my particular style. It's not going to be my go-to. So the FTRs, the Rey Fenixes,
oh, I'm an FTR,
the Pentas, you know, those are my guys. Daniel Garcia. If keep pushing that man.
If you were going, and that's another thing.
Dude, Rampage is huge.
Rampage's
card is ridiculous.
Stacked.
I'm going to pull that up.
We're hitting a good stride for AEW Television. We're hitting a good stride for wrestling. It's going to be interesting to see where this all leads. Plus, and while I am glad they're leaning into it, don't get me wrong. I'm interested to see them expand upon how Sting is part of that. Like, what is it about him that makes you finally go, we hate you all, and we're going to exhort our authority?
I don't know.
And that's something I hope they expand upon.
Hopefully they do.
I felt like if I had one criticism, because saying Sting represents part of the problem, But if you just said Ric Flair, even I'd have been like, that makes some sense.
Right?
That makes some sense.
But, like, I mean,
but you're looking to get booed, not cheered, I suppose.
Is Chris in this, too? Talking about Edge? Or, I'm sorry, Adam? Adam Copeland? Are we talking about Christian?
Are we going to...
Talking about Dustin?
Are they going to war with
the veterans?
Should Jake Roberts be on the lookout?
He might want to be. Lance Archer, hey, he's got some people around him.
I was going to say, like, Jake's a slithery bastard. He'll be fine.
Lance Archer will toss them both.
Yeah, it's fine. And then, you know, the Righteous, God, that theme's a little bit
higher. I love those three. They're great.
Yeah, it works out.
Oh, my God.
We just booked a
Bullet
nice match.
Club Gold versus the Righteous and Lance Archer.
Let's go.
That just popped in my brain.
Let's go. That needs to be like the Tony within the next 2 weeks.
Archer and Righteous have been on Ring of Honor television a lot.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, and then lastly for Dynamite, Samoa Joe defeated Hook to retain his championship. Big night for Hook.
It was a big night for Hook.
Big night for Hook.
Big night for Hook.
I would have liked to see. I thought Taz did a good job conveying the necessary emotion. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to seen him off the desk and in Hook's corner for this one night.
I think that Taz is very much not wanting Hook to, for lack of a better term, hang on his coattails.
Being his big fat shadow?
I think he's worried that if he goes out there, all of a sudden it's about him and not about Hook.
Because
I can understand that.
Because when Taz is Taz, he's...
And if you follow this business, you know how damaged he is. He can't do shit.
Yeah.
He is broken. He is the definition of broken. He can't do anything.
Yeah, he's... I would much rather... And this isn't my bias at all. I would much rather Ric Flair or Jake Roberts take a bump.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But, like, this is why I also try to give Tony a pass. I don't want to say a pass, but it's creative control there. Sure, he's going to give you an outline. Sure, he's going to tell you where you're going. Sure, he books the matches. But it's kind of up to you what you're doing and where you're going. Same with commentary. It's obviously
you can tell.
Everybody on commentary is doing what they want that fits their character.
Because they run into each other a lot.
To enhance the commentary. And that's normal. It makes it feel more real and lived.
Yeah.
And you don't want to take away from Hook. I think that's what he's worried about. It's like, I'm a commentator. I've had my time. If I go out there, I overshadow Hook. Especially, maybe not if it's fucking Luchasaurus or Brian Cage or somebody. But because of the history of Joe and Taz, it instantly, even though we all know we can't, instantly we want to see it. That's the because.
What's one more time, baby? What's one more time?
As realistic as AEW attempts to be with some of their stuff, and yes, air quotes, it's wrestling, so air quotes. Because as a dad, it's like, whoop that motherfucker's ass. Come on. Now, you, what happens? Bell to bell. Bell to bell. Sorry. It's bell to bell. It's none of my business. It's none of my business. But when that match is over and you start destroying my son, we have problems. But there's no payoff.
There's going to be, at some point, I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think there's going to be a big payoff. At some point, Hook's going to get in the right feud that Tony goes, hey, Taz, lock one more on him.
Maybe.
One more Taz mission.
But I think that might work as long as it's not Joe. It's got to be somebody that Taz doesn't have history with.
But why wouldn't, and I'm asking, I'm not debating, walk me through this. Why wouldn't Joe be perfect for that? Because they do have history. What's wrong with having that history?
Because we can't do anything with it.
Well, we can.
You can't do anything.
We can slap a Taz mission on that son of a bitch.
Maybe.
He can do a Taz mission.
But that's it? That's the payoff?
And then Hook, well, I guess he's not winning the title.
There's no, like, heel getting even. There's no big match to make money off of. I think it was smart to avoid it altogether. I think it was a good decision.
I mean, what's one father-son tag? You know,
he can't do anything. He cannot do anything. This is one of those things that when Bully Ray says it, I believe it. Taz can't do shit. There's a reason why, like, Ric Flair and Jake Roberts are out there moving. Taz is not. Taz cannot do anything. Literally can't do anything. So there's nothing to do, and I hate to regurgitate things I've heard on Busted Open, but they're not wrong. Where's the ultimate payoff for that? Amen. Even John Cena's dad got physical. Like, there was payoff there with the Miz feud. There was a payoff. There's nothing you can do with Taz because of his body is so broken. He's more broken than The Undertaker.
Well, first of all, The Undertaker can always do whatever he wants to do.
Well, and so can Taz, but he does. It's hard to not be like, dude, that's your kid. What are you doing? Not going out there. But then you gotta, like, pull yourself out of the show, and you're like, fuck, Taz can't do anything.
He can throw one punch and
put a Taz mission on it. That's it? Like, Ric Flair, that's respectable. That's part of his stick. No sell his chops and get poked in the eye. That's playing the hits. What's playing the hits when you're Taz? It's not just put it on. It's dropping down and sinking it in. It's not just throwing it on and standing up.
You got to do the whole thing.
I don't even think he can do that.
I wonder why. Because
he had a lot of injuries.
I know he did, but I know it's been several years. But
I think it's very similar to Steve.
He did have he did have some slight physical altercations, certainly post wrestling days in WWE, mm-hmm. and then again some in TNA. Now again, that's been several years.
I'd have to look because I don't know, and I'm just kind of speaking. I know Austin was so worried about getting in because of the type of neck surgery he had. It could be the same thing with Taz. Because the neck surgery that Austin and Taz had might as well be fucking prehistoric compared to Danielson, Adam Copeland, and Christian. I mean, medical science has come so far from 2004 or whenever they had these surgeries. Austin's even sooner than it is today. It could be how his body healed. Like, you hear Mark Henry talk about it. He needs all kinds of surgeries. Medical science ain't there yet. I ain't doing it. Till medical science can be pretty sure that I'll be okay with this back surgery, then I'll do it. If it's going to get me back in the ring, then I'll do it. I don't think that's an option for Taz. It was barely an option for Steve.
And so that's also what I wonder. Now that we have made those advancements, right? Could we do something? And this would be if Taz wanted it.
I think
could if, we do something to
if it's make fusion, that happen? I don't know, because I know that's what Austin had. It's not fusion anymore. They're not fusion shit together.
Looking like a DBZ character.
If it's fusion, I don't know if there's much you can do. And to be fair, like pro wrestling, you're gonna get fucking hurt.
Yeah, this thing hurts.
AEW is more intense, a little more stiff, a little more chances are taken, whether you're trying to make a name for yourself or you got this big-ass ego, like, that kid can do that shit, I can do that shit too. Like, it's going
to
happen.
Oh, you Steve.
You could walk in that ring and be like, I'm not going to do any crazy shit. 10 minutes later, jumping off a ladder, doing a fucking shooting star press or something stupid, or doing a Scorpion death drop backwards off the wall and missing a table.
Why?
Because he wanted to and he thought it would be fun.
All right. So we know that Samoa Joe is building towards some sort of combination between Swerve Strickland and Hangman.
Triple threat, yes.
We know that.
Better be.
So, but let's talk about Hook.
Okay.
The cold-hearted, handsome devil.
Okay.
What do you do with him now?
He
still is your FTW champion in the only company that's ever recognized the belt. Championship. Yeah. Yep.
TNT Championship? I don't know. Like, you have to follow up on this, but I don't know how. Aside from Samoa Joe putting him over on the microphone for some reason, which doesn't make sense if Samoa Joe beat the shit out of him the match was over. If I whoop somebody's ass when the match is over, I'm not going to come out the next week and sing their praises, kiss my ass. I don't care if they withstood everything I had or not. I apparently don't like you because I whooped your ass after the bell rang.
Damn, if only Hook had somebody he could lean on and turn to and maybe a nice manager or some kind.
He doesn't want to do that anymore. He wants Hook to stand on his own.
He managed him like 2 matches.
That was all he needed. I don't know. I don't know what you do with him. He can't wrestle for the title again.
But you do understand that I technically have a good idea there.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
It depends if Taz wants to do it or not.
I mean, just as a father, why wouldn't you want to have
a
little...
He doesn't want Hook to be in his shadow.
Too bad. He said too bad. Too bad. You are Taz. Taz with 1Z, one badass some bitch. The toughest guy on the ECW roster for years was Taz. You didn't mess with him. He broke his neck, kept right on going.
You know what you do? You know what you do? Samoa Joe beats up on somebody, and you light the Hook signal, and here he comes.
Do you know what I think of when I see Hook?
And Hook is the reason why Samoa Joe loses at Revolution.
I'm fine with that.
And then they can have a feud, because Joe won't have the title, and Hook can learn more and do more things, and we can stop bitching about, how do you beat Hook now? What's Samoa Joe got to do to beat people? Sorry, busted open. I mean, it's not that big of a fucking deal. It's wrestling. Fucking cares.
I care.
I care too, but like at some point, we're all going to kind of forget that Samoa Joe had to throw almost the kitchen sink at Hook.
Actually, that's a good thing. That's a good. We're trying to make a new star here. Right? Samoa Joe's had his time.
It's fine.
Like Samoa Joe still has time,
and
but
we
we're
also
trying to make a new star.
This in AEW, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that Samoa Joe would do out there that he didn't want to do. It's AEW. He didn't have to give Hook that much offense. He wanted to. He wanted Hook to kick out at one. He wanted that. And yeah, it's not ideal to kick out of one hell of a muscle buster at one, but fuck. That crowd reaction.
It's called making a star.
But now people like to talk about instant gratification. Isn't that what wrestling is? Aren't you told, as a wrestler, if the crowd pops... And it wasn't a holy shit pop. It was, oh my God, it was a shocked pop. It wasn't one of those, you just did something crazy and we're giving your flowers right now with a holy shit or, you know, 10 minutes of chain wrestling, this is wrestling. It wasn't that. It was a pop for a moment in a match. Like, and isn't that the point?
I thought this was the perfect way to maintain the, if there is such a thing as a hook mystique.
That's it.
They did the perfect way of doing it. Because, again, I'm not putting down, you know, they can say, well, how would you ever? Because, like you said, it's wrestling.
It's wrestling.
And, again, I'm not suggesting this Mojo's near the end of the line at all. But let's
and I'm not trying to bitch and bust it open. But he's just keep
been
coming
a, but he's been a.
I love those guys.
He's been a star for 15, 20 years. You know who hasn't? Who has had a cup of coffee in the big leagues? Hook. We're trying to make new stars here. Nobody said, and I'm not comparing the two in size or anything like that. But nobody complained at Hogan when Goldberg was kicking out of the leg drop like it was nothing.
I don't recall anybody complaining about the Ultimate Warrior kicking out of the pedigree like without even being covered either.
You know, and
I know that was a long time ago, but it's still pretty gross to think about.
And
like we talk about bastardizing moves and doing shit too much and this, that, and the other. Do we not recall the bastardizing of the pedigree by Ultimate Warrior? Almost killed that move before it was a thing.
So you're trying to make a new star, and you got to – sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures, as right? I say. We got to do what we got to do here. All right. Any other final thoughts on Dynamite before we touch on a little bit of Raw and get out of here?
No, I think that was about it. Yeah, I got nothing else.
I thought it was a pretty good episode.
I was thoroughly entertained all the way. And I didn't need Hangman and Swerve at the end. I didn't need that. I didn't need Hook walking out, like, under his own power. Like, I didn't need that either. I would have just rather of them ended it with the chokeout.
Fade to black.
That's the show. Fade to black. Call it a day. It's the thing that I talked about last week with the Hangman Page. Cool. I saw Swerve and Hangman. They cut killer promos earlier. Why am I seeing them again? I already know this is where you're going. They didn't need to do anything after their promos. It's fine. Swerve's wrestling on Friday. I can see him on Friday. Why is he coming out here? Why is Adam Page saving Hook? They have no relationship. What does he have to do with anything? He's not Adam Page is not squeaky clean babyface save everybody like John Cena. That's not Adam Hangman Page. That's a Cody Rhodes thing. That's a John Cena thing. Like, that's not Adam Page. He has no relationship with Hook. Sure, Adam Page has saved his friends, but he has no relationship with Hook whatsoever. Based on television, what we're shown, he has no relationship with Hook. What does he care?
You're talking kayfabe, baby.
Kayfabe. Yeah, in kayfabe. Why does Adam Page care if Samoa Joe is beating up Hook? I don't know what relationship they have. Why is Swerve coming out and just standing there? If I see Swerve on my television, it better be to talk or wrestle and nothing else. Why? I don't want to see Swerve Strickland standing there. He's too good on the microphone. He's too good in the ring. He is the next AEW World Heavyweight Champion because whose house is it?
Swerve's house.
It's fucking Swerve's house. Damn right it is.
All right.
I'm losing track of the knobs here. Sorry. Because I got to... Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I got to turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Matches up in front of you.
No, I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling?
Yeah.
Mr. Samoa Joe?
Stop talking to me.